But we're going to start at the bottom of Ayin Amud Bet. By the Mishnah, the Mishnah begins, Beleshet, Shenich Nesada Ir. So Beleshet, in modern day Hebrew, is a spy. So what here we're saying, spies enter the city. So as Rashi points out here, it's a chayil. It's actually troops or a legion that entered into the city. So why are they called Beleshet? Why are they called spies? Shemechapsim vechotrin. They go and look at everything. They touch, look, and go through everybody's possessions and everything in the city. So they're called Beleshet, but we're referring to basically troops or an army that entered a city. If it's a peaceful time, then Chaviot Tuchot Asurot, any barrels of wine that are open are Asurot, because they for sure stuck their hand in there, for sure they did something with the wine. Stumot Mutarot. On the other hand, those Stumot are fine because they're not going to go through things that are already closed, they're not going to make the effort to open them up. Bishat Milchama, in a time of war, Elu Ve'elu Mutarot. In a time of war, they're both Mutar, the Fisha Im Pnai Menasich. There's no free time to do Nisuch Hayayin. Because they're running through the city, they're in the battle, they're in the heat of the battle, they're not going to take the time to be Menasech Hayayin, even with the open barrels. Now, what's interesting here is that we've seen, until this point in time, that Nisuch Hayayin does not really require so much time. He can stick in his hands and dabble in the Yayin, and it's done in a second. So here we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to draw a distinction, where it's not really time-based, but it has to be time and interest-based. So which is the next line in the Gemara, Veramini. Then we have a question, a braita that says, Ir shekavshua karkom. So a city that is conquered by a siege. Right here, so karkom is a siege. What's clear from here, and Tosus points it out, is that they still have to be, or we still have to assume here that the siege is not over. That they're still in the heat of the battle, there's still war going on at this point in time. Kolkanot shebetocha psulot. Any wife of a Kohen that is found in that city is Pasul, and also Kohanot, even single women then will no longer be Ru'uya, the Kehuna. Amar of Mari, so the answer to this question, I'll deal with the question in a second again, is Naseich Ein Penai, Livo Yesh Penai. So the Gemara says, or suggests over here, based on this Tanaic source, that when there's a battle going on, that any Kohenet, any wife of a Kohen that's found in the city is psula for her husband. Now that relates to a difference between the wife of a Kohen versus the wife of Israel. The wife of Israel, if she willingly participates in znut, then she's a sura lebala. If it was ne'enas, then she is muter lebala. That is not true by a Kohenet. By a Kohenet, whether she did it beratzon, whether it was ne'enas, the Kohenet is a sura lebala. So over here, the assumption is that the troops were menes these women. And since they were menes the women, they're psulot to go back to their husbands. So wait, our Mishnah suggests that they don't have enough time to do yayin nesech when they're in the battle. Over here, you're saying that all the kohanot are psulot in the city. So how's that they do have time for this? So Gemara's answer, which is, it's not enough time to do nesech hayayin, but livol yesh p'nai. If you're talking about purely on a time basis, that makes no sense. It's clear that Nisuch HaYayin is going to take much less time than Liv'o. So why would you suggest? So Rashi points out, meaning that if I'm in the middle of the battle, to take the time out to do Nisuch HaYayin, that Yetzer is not enough for me to take a pause from the battle to deal with that type of issue, to deal with Nisuch HaYayin. But here, Liv'o Yishpanai means the Tokif Lehu Yitzrayu. That the Yetzirah there is so strong that there's a willingness to take a break from the battle, to step away from the battle for a second to do this. So that's what I was suggesting before. Ein Pnei L'Naseich is not necessarily amount of time as a quantitative measure of time. Right? It's interest, exactly. Because we've seen before that simply the dabble is enough. So if I have to make a choice between focusing on the war, the battle, and being Menasech Yayin, I'm going to focus on the battle. When it comes to the Anais, the women, there it seems that they were distracted, and they'd be willing to give up some of their focus on the battle to be Boel, the women of the city. All right, next Mishnah. Omnim shel Yisrael, sheshalach lehem obi kuchavim chavit shel Yayin Nesech b'scharam. So we've seen this before, which is here you have these Jewish merchants that are now waiting for payment, and all of a sudden their payment shows up, and it's a nice big barrel of Yayin Nesech. So now what does he have to do? He said, Mutar Lomar, he can say back to the sender, Ten lanu et demeha, then give us the money. We don't want to accept this payment, the Yayin Nesech. Give us the money instead, because they are entitled to money. They were entitled to their compensation being paid back in cash fact that he opted to give them Yayin Nesech is the choice of the Goy. If he doesn't accept it, that's fine. But if he already took it into his possession, if it already comes into his possession, then he can't reject it and hand it back and say, oh, give me money now, because then it either looks like or it is, he's selling back the Yayin Nesech to get money for it. So until it comes into his possession, you can reject it. Once it reaches your possession, you may not reject it. Amir Yudam Arav. Mutar li adam lomar lo ovid kochavim, tzev afes alai menat ha-melech. What we're talking about here is anona, talking about whether it's the head tax, or whether it's the tax, as Rashi points out, the isur. There was a maaser, 10% that was given of all tvu'an, all behemoth, all livestock and all produce, had a 10% tax that was placed upon it that was given to the king. So a person can say to an ovid kochavim, go and pay on my behalf to the king. His intent is to pay him back. He's just saying, look, if you're going there already, can you pay my tax bill as well? And then I'll pay you back. So that is mutar. And what's the question? Well, the thought is that this Obi Kachavim could be paying the king with Yayin Nesech. Could be that he's paying the king with Yayin Nesech. If he's paying the king with Yayin Nesech, then when I pay him back, I'm giving him money to use or to pay back the Yayin Nesech. It's as if I paid Yayin Nesech to the Melech, and now I'm compensating for that. So why is it permitted? The answer why it's permitted is because the goy, or the person that he hires to pay the taxes on his behalf, does not have to pay through Yayin Nesech. He can pay through cash. He had a choice by which to pay. So he could pay with cash, he could pay with the produce, he could pay whatever he wants to the king. When I compensate him, all I'm saying is I'm making him, it's as if I borrowed money from him, and now I'm repaying him that loan. It's not that I asked him to give Yayin Nesech to the Melech, and now I'm trying to pay him back for the Yayin Nesech. That's not the case here. Case is that he's paying. He could have paid in cash. He could have paid with Yayin Nesech. Could have paid with produce. The fact that he chose Yayin Nesech, that's his personal choice, doesn't affect me at all, or doesn't shouldn't affect me at all. So that's why Rav Yudam Arav says it's mutar. So now, Meitave, is that really true? We said, Ayumar Adam lo ubi kochavim, o tachti lo otzer. Don't go instead of me to the otzer. Now, Rashi here brings two interpretations of what the otzer is. One otzer with an ayin, one otzer with a aleph. So Rashi says, what's alta alu tachti lo otzer? He kanes bimkomi lapisa tashoter. Go instead of me to pay off the policeman. Kamo ze yatsor bi'ami. Shon achrina. Shon otzer. Shimimune al otzerot. Yayin v'shemen shomelech l'gavot lo le'atzor. So there's an aleph. So one either otzer means from to stop, right? And that means from a shoter. That means that you have to pay off the policeman. The other possibility is with an aleph, which is otzer, means to store. And he is the in charge of the storehouses of the king, of the wine and the shemen of the king. Amalei Rav, otachti lotzar kamart. Wait, you're quoting that as a proof? Halodamya. That's not similar to our case. Elalaha. Our case is similar to this situation, which is avarmelo malteini min otzar. You know, help me get away from the otzar, then it's permitted. So the difference is in the way that he phrases it, and Rashi explains this. Ultachti kamart. Kevan damar ultachti havamashu hava bimkomi. Go instead of me. We say ultachti, you're basically saying, be my agent. Whatever you do, that's mine. I would have done that. I'm paying that. So the problem with that is if he goes and pays with the Yayin Nesech, right, then you have a problem because he's acting on your behalf. He's acting as your shliach here. It's not like you borrowed money from him and say, look, pay it, and then I'll repay you. He's saying, basically, you do my bidding, and he's going to go ahead and do it. That's not permissible. On the other hand, if he says, malteini mi otzer, says, help me get away from the shoter, help me get away from the otzar, over there, the guy now has a choice. When I ask him to do that for me, I'm not using him as an agent. I'm just saying to him, do whatever you have to do to pay it off, and then I'll come back and pay you. I mean, I'm borrowing from you. So there, he's allowed to pay him with cash. So pay cash, you can get rid of the problem with cash, and then I'll repay you. The fact that you chose to pay it off with your Yayin Nesech, that's no longer my issue. So if you want to make the cases similar, you say, listen, can you, malteini min otzar, or if you say, tseva feis le'alai atamelech, in those cases, you're just asking him to do what is supposed to be done in this case and to repay him, basically borrowing money from him and saying, I'll repay you later. On the other hand, if you ask him to act as your agent, to act instead of you, then you run into a problem if he uses Yayin Nesech, if he uses something that is problematic for a Jew to use or get hana from, because then he's doing it on your behalf. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos disagrees. says, you look at your Tosfos, I don't dime you a seifa. Tosfos says, Perish Rashi Mishum Rabbeinu Yechiel. Because he could have paid in cash. So basically Rashi creates the case to be exactly the same as the case we had before, which is a Pesach Laila Melech, which is giving, you could have paid cash, and the fact that he didn't pay cash is not my problem. So that's how Rashi solves the problem. So we skip down about midway to the toast, it says, Linira, Dim came Pshita, the Maltaini Minotzar de Shori. If that's the case, then of course it's Mutar. Came into Mara Yerid Yecholus Alko. Well, I mean, what's the question in that case? It is a case where, and like Rashi said maybe before with the Aleph, which is the Otsar, he's chayav to the king, wine specifically, not money. He doesn't have to pay up the king. The king wants his wine that is owed to him. So that's the chesh over here. Mikol mechom shari, kamalei malteni min Otsar. Shum demash racha kamalei, salei koto b'mash tuchal. Just get this, well, get this burden off of me. Get him out of here. It's not specifically instructing him to go and pay Yain Nesach for him. Even though he can't pay him off with cash, but with Yain Nesach, and we'll see that that's the case later on in the Gemara. But later on, he'll say, you pay him Yain. And that means you're paying off the loan with the Yain Nesach. He's saying, you act on my behalf to pay off the loan. That means he's his agent. Now he's like a shliach. He's paying him Yain Nesach. Now that he can't do. So here, that was Tosfos says the Chiddush is not that he can pay him off with the wine, but the fact that he can pay with Yain, but if you don't specify that you want him to be your agent or that you want him to pay the Yain Nesach, then that's fine. Whatever. Do whatever it takes to get rid of this problem. Or that means I'm borrowing from you and I'll pay you back later. I'll pay you for your services. I'll pay you to take care of the situation. But if he says ul tachti, that means you're empowering him to pay Yain Nesach to the Melech. That you can't do, and that'll be a problem. Okay, next Mishnah. Mocher yeino lo'ovi kochavim. So it's a Mishnah, or a concept that we've discussed before. A person sells his Yain to an ovi kochavim, pasak achlo madad. If they set the price before they measure out the wine that's going to be taken, then damav mutarim. Then he's allowed to take the compensation for the wine. On the other hand, madad achlo pasak. If they measure out the wine, they pour out the wine first, before they make or come to a conclusion about the price, then damav asurim. Then the money is problematic. The underlying assumption here, which we'll get to in the Gemara, is that when you're modeh the yain, it's going to turn into yain nesech. That it's going to become the goyis already. Once it's in his possession, it becomes yain nesech. That if he's to compensate you afterwards, then you're getting compensation for yain nesech. If the price is set up front, and the compensations, we'll see in a second, maybe even paid already, then there may not be a problem. So now, my Meimar, this is a basic machlokes in Meshicha Koneh by Goy. Amar Meimar Meshicha, Ba'ovid Kochavim Koneh. The Meshicha works. A Kinyan Meshicha is a functional Kinyan for an Ovid Kochavim. Teda. How do you know? The Hanei Parsai Mishadre Pardashne, the Adad Ivelo Hadre Buhu. I'll tell you how I know this. Because the Persians send, and we'll see in a second, Rashi gives two interpretations what this Pardashni is to each other, and they don't back out. Nobody backs out of doing this. There is no Kinyan except for a Kinyan Meshicha, and yet that's solid enough that they don't back out of the gift. So let's see here. What's Pardashni? So Rashi brings down, Pardashni is Doron. It's a gift. They hand over gifts, and the people who send the gifts, after there's a Kinyan Meshicha, they never take it back. So that's one interpretation. Lishna achrina, Rashi brings me tshuvat agonim. It's pardashne mishesh lo kur chitin limkor. Someone has a large quantity of grain to sell. So then they posek tamim lokeach, they agree on price. Velech the beit do. And then they go home. The buyer goes home. O meshage lo kav chitin lirot kamein yafot. Then the seller sends him a sample to the house of the mocher. If he keeps the sample, it's over. The deal's done. If he doesn't want them, he sends them back. So they come to agreement on price. And then the seller sends to the buyer a sample of the quality of what he's going to get. If he wants to keep it, he keeps that wheat, and that seals the deal. Because what did he do there? All he did was a Kinyan Meshicha. He hasn't paid any money here. He only agreed on price, but there's no money that is exchanged hands. The only thing he did was he did a Kinyan Meshicha. He took the sample and he kept it. If he sends the sample back, then it reverses that there's no transaction here. But what do you see? You see that the fact that they made a Kinyan on the sample is enough to lock in the transaction. He doesn't back out of it. But either way, what you see from here is that they, by Dashnei, they have this Kinyan Mashiach, and once they've done a Kinyan Mashiach, it takes hold. Now, the example is interesting only because you could have said that the Machlokas here is whether Mashiach, Yesh Mashiach Bovid Chachamim, is Ikka Machlokas, whether the Torah recognizes such a Kinyan. Right here, he brings an example of the Persians, the way they interact with each other as a proof that Mashiach is Koneh. Well, what happens if the Torah says that Mashiach is not Koneh? And they still, that's the way they act, that's their, right, in business, that's what they do. So it might be, and we might have to say this, that when we say that Kinyanim work, the Torah lays out a certain set of Kinyanim that work, but then also, whatever the local customs are, in terms of Kinyanim, that also works in a way. So that might be today, for instance, in the signing of contracts and certain things that what we do or we do today that don't involve a Kinyan necessarily, but because they're accepted as the business methodology for exchange and for lock-in. Right. Gemirutat, that you have, that these create that type of Gemirutat here because people transact in this way today. So maybe what the Torah says here about Mashiach is not relevant because today it works for the Persians. That's a Maimar's claim. So I'm Rav Ashi comes along and says, now the way our Girsa here says La Olam Emelacha. If you look at Rashi the Divrei Matkil says Rav Ashi says, and he says it straight out. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Tosfos says the same thing. Tosfos says Lo Litchuya Ba'alma Kamar. When Rav Ashi is coming to say this over here, he's not coming to be doche because it's not. He's raising a La Olam Emelacha means raising a possibility, an alternative. That's what it means. La Olam Emelacha. If you eliminate La Olam Emelacha, that means that he's making a statement of fact, not a statement of possibility. And it seems to be that both Rashi and Tosfos read it that way. Rashi, you can see by the Divrei HaMatkil, Tosfos says that this is not a Dechuya Ba'alma. It's a statement of fact by Rav Ashi, and that means that he is arguing on a Meimar. He's not simply saying, maybe you could say this, but rather, this is my position. Rashi Amar, Mashiach Ba'ovei Kechavim Eino Koneh, doesn't work. Ah, what about the example that you brought down? Why don't they back out of the transactions? He says, interesting. The Ramat Ruchahu Dinakitulahu says that it's a certain amount of haughtiness in them that they don't back out. That since they've, if you say that it's gifts, by the way, it makes more sense here, that in Matana, that since it's in a position of giving a gift, so a person doesn't back out of a gift because it looks bad. It's something that he loses his stature in some way. Right, an Indian giver, it's something that is not acceptable in terms of etiquette, not because there's a Kenyan over here. So that would make more sense. If you're talking already about the transaction with the sample, there already it's a little harder to argue about this being Ramat Rucha. I'm not sure it's a little harder to explain the Ramat Rucha, but you could consider that by Mekar Chomemkar, that also there's a Ramat Rucha, that if they already agreed on price, and he took delivery of the sample and he kept the sample that the seller is not willing to back out at that point in time. It would lose face if he backed out at that time, but not because there's a Kinyan Gamur. But either way, Rav Ashi says that this practice of the Persians is not a business practice, it's not a Kinyan practice, but simply a practice of etiquette or uneasiness that comes about from reversing one's position. So Amar Rav Ashi, Mina Amina Lo, how can I prove to you that there's no Mashiach? Medamar Lohu Rav Lahanu Subiyata. So Rav said to these Subiyata, which are these wine sellers, Ki Kai Litu Chamra Le'ovdei Kochavim. When you measure out, when you pour out the wine to Ovdei Kochavim, Shaklu Zuzei Minayu, take the money first, the other Kailin Lohu, and then pour for them, measure out for them the wine that they're going to take. If they're not going to pay you the cash up front, take money with you. Ozvinu, lend them the money. Va'adar shakilu minayu, and then take the cash back. Create or generate a loan before you sell the wine to them. Give them, so what you do is you lend them money, let them pay that cash for the wine, because halva is the hotzah nitna, the money's theirs now, they pay for the wine, there you don't find yesach. When you go to make your claim for cash, return then, or get your money, you're asking for a payment of the loan, not for payment on the yayin nesach. If you don't do this, when it turns into yayin nesach, when it reaches the possession of the guy, it's still in your possession, because he hasn't paid for it yet. And then when you take payment for the wine, you're taking payment for Yayin Esech. Now, Wait, you're pouring it into his utensils. You're giving him the wine. So that means that he already has he's taking possession of the wine. Why is it? Yain nesach bishutaychu. The only reason you would say it's bishutaychu is that the guy never took possession of it. So mi demashko v'chachamim kanyo. Yain nesach lo aviyadu nogabe. When he takes possession of the wine, that's already his. Now, when does it become yain nesach? When he touches it. If he takes possession, then he touches it. If he takes possession, right, it's his yain when he makes it into yain nesach. Why is it a problem for you? Ella must be that mishicha is enokona. Right, so that's the Gemara that's going to come up with a case here. You're right. If he's pouring the wine into the utensil of the Jew, I mean, the merchant is pouring into his own utensil to give it to the goy, then how does the goy get possession of it? He does mishicha on the utensil that he poured into, because it's the Yisrael's utensil. So he doesn't get it. Just by pouring it into that utensil is not enough, because it's the Jew's utensil. When the goy takes it from him, that's when he has the kinyan. There's no yayin nesek until he touches. That would work. That's not what's going on in this situation. In this situation, they're coming to purchase the wine from the Jew, and the Jew dispenses the wine into the non-Jew's utensil. He's pouring into his utensil. Then, when does he get a kinyan on it? He gets a kinyan as soon as it goes into his utensil. Well, as soon as it goes into his utensil, it's also a yayin nesek. He doesn't have to be touching anymore. I said, no, it's so. Kimato lavi demono kanyo. Yayin nesek lo avi adamati larite. No, there is a delay. He takes possession of it from the moment it comes into the airspace of the kili. It doesn't become yayin nesek until it reaches the floor, the base of the kli.
Why does it become yayin nesek before he touches it?
Oh, because what's the problem? Yayin nesek can be either for one of two reasons. Yayin nesek can be a problem because either the goy touched it, or you put it into his utensil where there is either yayin or there was already yayin nesek in there. So that it becomes less of a no because it's his utensil, problem of his utensil. Right, that's what they're suggesting now. Even if it's the goy's utensil, I can create a delay between the mishicha and the yayin nesek. What's the vehicle he's using for kinyan over here? So Rashi says, "Lavir demana dovi chavim kanya ovi chavim ba'agba." That is, the kinyan here is a derech agba, that he lifts it up and he's holding the barrel. So if he's holding the barrel and lifts it up, that's a kinyan agba. Even though, so once it enters the airspace of the kli, it has a kinyan agba because the utensil is lifted off the ground. It's not on the ground, and there's a kinyan agba here, ayudei de goy. So Gemara says, from this we can conclude, shmamina nitzok chibur. We had this question back in Baba Batra. We actually had it, but we mentioned it before, whether nitzok is a chibur or not. Whether we say that when you pour something, does the going back up from the pouring situation, from the item that is there, it arcs back up through the stream of pouring in order to affect the wine that is there. So the Gemara says here, well, if you want to suggest that it is yayin nesach from the moment, right, it hits the karka, and then it arcs back and affects all the wine that's there, shmamina nitzok chibur. That must be that the nitzok is a chibur, that it can affect all the wine that is there. Gemara is suggesting at this point that the questioner of Rav Asher, the one who challenged Rav Asher's proof from this source, is that he must hold that Nitzuk is a chibur. Because otherwise, as we pointed out before, there would be a delay between the kinyan and the becoming of Yayin Nesek, which would be no problem. And then why is Rav raising a problem with these merchants? So it must be that the kinyan and the Yayin Nesek are happening simultaneously. The only way for that to be true is that when it enters into the airspace of the kli, there's a kinyan, that same moment, it's also yayin nesach. How is that? That's through chibur, nitzuchu chibur. The fact that the arc of the pouring takes the yayin nesach from the base of the barrel all the way back up into the barrel or the pitcher of the Jew who's pouring it, then the yayin nesach is already taking place before the mishicha. If that's the case, now you have a problem. So the Gemara wants to say, based on the questioner of Avashi, you must conclude that nitzuchu chibur. And that means that it's deemed to be the problem or the yayin nesach of the Jew. It's the yayin nesach of the Jew, then we have a problem now. So the Gemara says, look, either nakit le'ovi chavim l'kli biyodei ochanami. You're right. If the goy was holding up the barrel, then that would be true. But that's not the case over here. So that it's on the ground. It's sitting on the ground. So since it's on the ground, right, there's no kinyan agba anymore. There's no kinyan of agba here. And that's why Rav was telling them that there's a problem. So wait, let's say that his kelim. Okay, fine. He's not holding it up. So there's no kinyan agba here. But at least let's say that his kelav shalokeach are konet. He's got his keli there, it's sitting on the ground. When it enters, it's kli. It should be his. There's also another shaila. Here you have a buyer's kelim that are in the shut of the mocher, and because it's down, he's sitting on the property of the mocher. Nevertheless, lo kana lo keach. So that would be an answer question, because here you see that its kli is not kone the yayin, and then becomes therefore it presents a problem for the Jew. So lo doyolam emalocha kana lo keach. No, I can say that it works. V'achamai skinen kon deika. Akavat yaina pumei de kuznata. The kama kama nyasachle. The problem here is that on the mouth of the barrel, on the edge or the tip of the barrel, there was leftover yayin nesach. And the leftover yayin nesach, as you poured it in, that leftover yayin nesach touched, the wine touched it as it entered the kli. So as it touched it, as it entered into the kli, that makes everything yayin, everything that's entering into the kli is going to be yayin nesech, or it already changed everything into the kli to yayin nesech because of the yayin, the actual yayin that is there. Uchman, delok Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And who's this like? This is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Di Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, amar, imacher kulo lo vichachavim chutz mit yayin nesech shibo. We already saw this suggestion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that when it comes to yayin nesech being mixed up with your yayin, you're allowed to sell the whole value except for the value of the yayin esek. You're allowed to get benefit from the whole value except the yayin esek. So now what do you have here? You have a mixture of your yayin that's good, and yayin esek which touched those little drops of yayin esek of the goy. So why did you just say, okay, we'll sell the whole thing except for those drops of one yayin esek that were there? That'd be Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's suggestion. So it must not be like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi says, midu taima el rav. That's only a reason. This whole statement is for Rav. Rav is the one who started this whole process. Rav is the one who's telling these mochrim over here, listen, to make sure that you take money first and don't pour. Don't, if you pour first and take money, you're going to get in trouble. So Rashi says, I can prove from this that Mashiach is koneh. So the Gemara said back, wait a minute, you can prove Mashiach is koneh. That's only if we're talking about Jews' utensils. Here we're talking about the goy. Who's got the, it's his utensil. So there we're not talking about a Kenyan Mashiach, we're talking about a Kenyan Agba in that case, because he's holding up the barrel. Over there, he's got the Kenyan as soon as it comes into that veer of the barrel. But the Yayin Nesek doesn't happen until he hits the base of the barrel. So Nagmar says, well, if you're going to do that, then you have to say that Nitzuch is a Chibur. Otherwise, why is all the wine a problem? Otherwise, he's always Koneh before it hits the bottom of the barrel. Must say that it's becoming Yayin Nesek through Chibur beforehand. So Nagmar says, no, it's a case where he's not holding it up, it's on the ground. Sitting on the ground, and that's the problem here. His barrel is sitting on the ground. The Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, sounds like that the kli of a lokeach is not koneh. Why isn't his keli koneh over here? There's no yayin nesech anymore. He's not holding the barrel to make it into yayin nesech. There's no koach of the ovik chavim affecting the yayin nesech. So therefore, you don't have to wait till, you know, before we said it, when it touches the base of the barrel, it's yayin nesech because he's holding it up. Now, he's not holding it anymore. So the kiyan happens because it enters his kli. Where's the yayin nesech over here? So it sounds like his kli is not koneh. And then when he picks it up or he touches it afterwards, it turns into yayin nesech before it's his. So I says, no, there is a kinyan for the lokeach over here. What's the problem? There are drops of yayin nesach in there. Ah, drops of yayin nesach. Now I have a tarovet. Tarovet of yayin nesach and yayin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel told us that you could just sell it X that amount. Gemara says, wait, you're talking in Rav. Rav is making this suggestion to the sellers. Rav doesn't hold that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's din applies here. Why? Vama Rav. Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, chavit bichavit. When you're dealing with barrels, avalo yayin biyayin. It's true, if you have a number of barrels, 100 barrels, and one barrel is yayin nesach, then you could sell the 99, the value of 99, and get rid of all 100 of them. Or you could throw one barrel into Yam HaMelech, and then you can sell the remaining 99. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. But, lo yayin b'yayin. He's not talking about tarovet, actual tarovet. We have yayin nesach mixed in with your wine. There you can't sell it X, the amount that's there. That doesn't work. So, here, what are you saying? It's a local Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This is Rav speaking. Rav doesn't think Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is applicable over here. Why are we so worried about that? Because we know, or we have a position that whenever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel appears in a Mishnah, halacha kamoto. So here we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah Yotir in Avodah Zarah who says this, and Rav seems to be paskin halacha against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rav says no, because Rav doesn't think Rabbi Shimon Gamliel applies to this case. If he doesn't apply to this case, then he's not paskining against Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. All right, Tmeitavei. Where it says, Alokeach gruta ot min oivik kachavim. Someone buys, we saw this earlier in the Masechta back on Daf Nun Gimel, that a person is buying metal from a guy. He's buying metal pieces, raw metal pieces or chunks of metal from the guy. And when he looks through the whole batch, he finds that there's a avodah zara in there. If before he paid cash, he made a kinyan mashiach on it, yachzir, he can give it back. If he already gave money, and then the mashiach, then he has to take it yom ha-melech. Wait a minute, if you think mashiach ha-melech is enough, how can he give it back? I mean, why are you saying that the determining factor here is whether he paid for it yet, or he didn't pay for it? If kinyan mashiach works, even by overcoming, when you take that kinyan mashiach, when you take it already, that should be the end of the transaction. And you should not be able to return it. It's yours, and now you can't give it back. So, my rabbi, mishum de mechse ki mekach taut. It looks like a mistaken transaction. It looks like there's a problem in the transaction. So, Rav is going to ask an abaye, wait a minute, abaye, marav reisha mekach taut, seif alav mekach taut? Why does the first transaction look any more like a mistake than the second transaction? In both cases, you end up with a avodah zarah that you never asked for. So why, when he gives the money, it's considered not a mekach taot? And when he doesn't give the money, it is a mekach taot? How can you differentiate like that? They're both are mistaken transactions. Let's be clear. There's definitely a mekach taot here. The transaction, the premise of the transaction is mistaken. You never wanted to buy a avodah zarah. Nevertheless, why can't you back out? In the ratio where you never gave cash, it never looks like it was yours that you purchased the Obed Chamir. It's yours. Because what's going to happen when you give it back? You're going to hand him the Obed Chamir back. What is he going to give you? He's going to give you money back. So when he does that, it looks like you're selling him a avodah zarah. It's like you're transacting in a avodah zarah. In the second case, where he did give money already, Mexico, then it looks like yours. Now, not only does it look like yours because you purchased it, because you gave the money, but then when you want to reverse the transaction, you're going to get cash back. In the first case, when you don't pay him yet, when you hand it back to Bodazora, what are you going to do? You're just going to pay him less for what he gave you. You're not getting cash back. This looks like you're transacting in Bodazora. So here, these are both problems of Marat Ayin. Right, these aren't problems of, it's not an actual problem. There is a mekach taot here. There's no question that there was a mistaken premise. The underlying transaction should have never gone through. What we're worried about is what it looks like over here. It looks like you're transacting in a avodah zarah, and that's why we're going to object to you returning it once you've gotten the cash. But not because there was any real kinyan that took place here, or that there's an irreversible transaction in this case. And what's very interesting, Rashi points out over here, we just had a machlokas Abai and Rava. Now Abai and Rava are arguing about what the position of a Meimar was. Abai and Rava lived before a Meimar. They are older than a Meimar. So how could it be here that the Gemara is bringing down a machlokas between Abai and Rava discussing about a Meimar statement? We have a machlokas between a Meimar and Ravashi or Batrai. They're towards the end of the Amoraim. And there have a machlokas about Mashiach HaKohen. And then we bring in Abai and Rava, who are earlier Amoraim, which are second, third generation Amoraim, and they're arguing about their position. That the answer that Rashi gives is very important because it comes to the Ikar Halacha because of this. That a Meimar is following the position of Rabbi Yochanan. If you remember the machlokas in Baba Metzia about Kinyan Mashiach, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether Kinyan Mashiach applies to a goy. Because it says, Okonam Yad Amitecha. There, over there, do we say Miyanda Mitecha means that Kinyan Mashiach only works for a Jew, right? And, or do we say no, that Kinyan Mashiach also works by a Goy, but the Iker Kinyan is Kinyan Ma'ot. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's position, is that a Kinyan Mashiach works by a Goy. Reish Lakish disagrees. So over here, we have a Meimar holding like the position of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Ashi holds like the position of Reish Lakish. So now, when Abai and Rav are arguing, as Rashi says here, they don't belong in this Gemara over here. They were arguing, or they argued in the position of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara just lifted their machlokas and brought it over here. They took it out from when they were modifying the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, of course, they could be arguing about it. Rabbi Yochanan was older than them. They could, of course, have been arguing in the position of Rabbi Yochanan. The only reason that the Gemara then lifted that whole machlokas out and brought it over here to talk about a Meimar, even though it doesn't really fit, because they were before a Meimar. But, as Tosa says in the previous Amud, that has a nafkamina lalacha. If I say Rabbi Ashi and a Meimar, who the lacha be like? If I say Machlokas Rav Ashi and a Meimar, the lacha would be like Ravashi. Ravashi is a Batra. Ravashi is the leader of the Amoraim. The lacha should be like him. Nevertheless, the Tosa says, we pass an lacha like a Meimar. Ah, how can we pass on a Meimar neged Ravashi? That's because a Meimar's position, and this is what Tosa says, the Ikar reason of a Meimar is not because of the Persians. Not because it's holding about the Persian transaction, but rather, he holds like Rabbi Yochanan. The reason that a Meimar says his position is because I hold like Rabbi Yochanan. If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, what's the halacha like? If you have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. So it doesn't says here we paskin like a Meimar over Rav Ashi because we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over Reish Lakish. And a Meimar is really just reiterating the position of Rabbi Yochanan. He's taking on the position of Rabbi Yochanan. And that's why we also have this machlokas between Abai and Rava. They're really arguing in Rabbi Yochanan, not arguing in the position of a Meimar. So Amalei Mark Shisha Brei the Rav Chista the Rav Ashi Tashma Amocher Yeinu the Ovid Kachavim. Person who, this is our Mishnah. Person who sells Yain to Ovid Kachavim Pasak Achelo Madad. If they set the price before they measure the Mav Mutarim, the money's fine. Iamart Meshicha Ovid Kachavim Eino Koneh. If you say Meshicha Ovid Kachavim is not Koneh, why the Mav Mutarim? Why is the Mav Mutarim? Why should his money be okay? So over here we said that he took the money Pasak. They came to a conclusion about price. And then they Ajla Madad, and then Damav Mutarim. Over there we say it's enough. Now if you say Meshicha is Koneh, then we say fine. They came to agreement on price. He's doing Meshicha on the Yain, it's his. So then when it becomes Yain Esek, it's his. But if you believe Meshicha is not Koneh, then until he pays the money, there's no Kinyan over here. So if he never paid the money, all he did was agree on price. He never paid cash for it. They didn't pay for cash on it, then there's no Kinyan. If you say that Meshicha is Koneh, then you have Gemira Tadat. They came to agreement on price. There is Meshicha. That should be enough of a Gemira Tadat. That it's over. The transaction's over. And it's his. Then it becomes Nayin Esech. So he says, if you say by Meshicha, by Ovid Chameinu Koneh, my Damav Mutarim. It says, Achamai Skinin, the Akvim Le Dinar. That he paid. He prepaid for the wine. It says, Yochim Asefa. If he prepaid for the wine, why is there a problem in the Sefa? Madara Shlo Pasak Damav Asurin. Says, wait, if he measures out the wine first, and then only agrees on price, then it's asur. Why should it be asur? Be the kadim le dinar, am I damav asurin? If he prepaid for it, why is it asurin? The money's there already. He paid for the transaction. Why should it matter when they come to agreement on price? It says, amalei uludidach. Says, wait a minute. Okay, my explanation you don't like? Let me hear your explanation of this Mishnah. Damart Meshicha Bovi Chachamim Koneh. You think the Meshicha works by an Ovid Chachamim? You explain me the Mishnah now. Amai Reisha Damav Mutarim. Right? Beseifa Damav Asurim. You explain to me the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. In both cases, he mixes a Kinyan Meshicha. So he makes a Kinyan Meshicha, the wine is his. Why does it make a difference whether they agreed on price or not? If a Kinyan Meshicha is Koneh, and if he's Koneh in the Reisha, it's his when it becomes Nayin Nesach. If his Kinyan Meshicha is Koneh in the Seifa, it's his when it became Yayin Nesach. Why does the Pisuk Damim, why does the setting of the price matter? Elamayit Lechame Meimar, how are you going to explain the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Pasach Samchadate. Lo Pasach, lo Samchadate. It's very easy here. You need to have Gemir Tadat, you need Smicha Tadat. Until we set the price, he doesn't think it's his. He doesn't have a Gemira Tadat to take it until the price is set. So that's the difference between the ratio and the Seifa. In the ratio, what do you say? You say, okay, we came to agreement on price, therefore the Meshicha is relevant, because we have an agreement on price. In the Seifa, we don't have agreement on price, the Meshicha is no longer relevant. So I'll explain it the same way. I'll say Meshicha ain't a Koneh. Meshicha is not Koneh. I'd be prepaid for it. So he prepaid for it, he has the money already. Well, the difference is, if we come to agreement on price, when he prepaid for it, he thinks it's his already, because it's done. He prepaid for it, we know the price, he just needs to know how much change he's going to get back. And then if he prepays for it, and they haven't agreed on price yet, he doesn't think it's his. He doesn't really think he's making a kinyan on it with the prepayment, until they agree on price. So I'll say the same thing. So the dinami, avgad dekadim le'dina pasuk samchadate. Even though he prepaid when they have an agreement on price, samchadate, he relies on that. There's gemir tadat. Lo pasuk, if they don't agree on price, lo samchadate. Then he doesn't rely on that, and there's no kinyan over here. So amar le ravina the ravashi tashma. Come, let's see this. Amar b'chir ba'av, amar b'yochanan. Ben Noach neraga pachot misha bepruta lo nitan le'ishavon. Ben Noach in k'zeilo is put to death even on less than a shavit pruta. We saw this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But then Noach, by gzela, even by pachot mishavit pruta, by Jew, gzela only applies for yoter mishavit pruta, because in general people are mocha when it comes to less than a shavit pruta. But the goy, we said over there, the ben Noach who's makpid, not even on a less than a shavit pruta, over there if he steals, then he, even a pachot mishavit pruta, he's chayav mita. V'lo nitan le'ishavon, he can't return it. Iyamart, if you want to say Meshicha Bovichamim Eino Koneh, it's not Koneh. Amai Ne'erak. Why does he have to be? Why is he killed? What's the problem here? If I actually take the item and it comes into my possession, then you can say Lo Nitan Le'Shavon, then I can't return it. If you think Meshicha is Eino Koneh, then what is he chayav for over here? So the Gemara says Meshum De'Tzarei LeYisrael, that he caused pain to the Jew. It's not that he actually stole from the Jew. You're right, it remains in the Jew's possession, but he was mitzare le Israel, and that's what causes him the chiyuv mita. So ma'an lo nitan le ishavon, so then why is it not returnable? If it's the Jew's, wherever it is, then why can't he get it back? De'eno b'torat heishavon. It's not in the parsha of heishavon. What does that mean? Rashi says, what does it mean, b'torat heishavon? Klomar afanami. He never stole it. It always remained in the Jew's possession. So since it always remained in the Jew's possession, it's not in the Torah Shavon. He doesn't have to give it back in the sense that it was already the Jew's. He doesn't have to give it back because the Jew still owns it. Wherever it is, it's the Jew's. So that's what Rashi says. Wait, what are you going to say about the Sefer? His friend comes and took it from him. He's killed on it. So Bishlama Resha Mishum the Tsar of Israel. I understand the Resha because he caused pain to the Jew. That's why he's put to death. El Seifa Ma'avit. This next guy who steals, what did he do? If you say the guy has a kinyan on it, then he stole from the guy. If you have a guy stealing from a guy, you have two people being gonave, each one of them gets a death penalty for the gzeila that they did. That's Benoach, it's Nerag of Gzeila. But if you say that he has no Mashiach Koneh, fine, the first one is put to death because he caused pain to the Israel. The second one, what did he do? He didn't make any more pain for the Jew. It was already taken from him. For the guy, there's no tzari leben noach, but he didn't take it, and he can't make a kinyan on it, so he's not taking it. So you see from this that Meshichah is koneh. That was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. You see that's the position of Rabbi Yochanan, the Meshichah is koneh. And this was what Ravina came to say to Ravashi. Ravashi who said that Meshichah ain't koneh, here I have a proof to you that Meshichah is koneh. Now it is the dat Rabbi Yochanan, but that's the case. That's why we end up passing this way, is because Rabbi Yochanan's position is Meshichah is koneh by a goy. So now Tosos asks a question in general. He says, well, by a Jew, the same thing is true. A Jew steals from another Jew by the gzeva. He doesn't make a kinyan, and it remains the Balim's object, wherever it is. So how come over there we allow you to return it? There is a Heshavon. There is returning over there. So what do you mean? Just because it remains in your possession, why does it mean that it means there's no Heshavon? There's no returning. So Tosus wants to suggest, a Jew, the Chiyub to return it is because he was Gozel. He stole. So he has an obligation to return it because he stole. That's why it's Heshavon. But over here, the reason that he's being put to death is not because he stole. It's because it's Tzari Yisrael. Because the Jew pain. Because the Jew pain, then what's the obligation to return it? There wasn't, the problem's not gzeila, the problem is that he caused the Jew pain. So if that's the case, why do you have to tell me lo nitan leishavon, that he doesn't have to return it? Of course, the problem, or the whole incident here, is not an incident of gzeila, it's an incident of tzar l'Yisrael. So that's the problem here. If that's the problem, then lo nitan leishavon seems extraneous. You don't need that. You don't need that statement at all. The fact that it has that statement shows you that it must have been a, there must be a kinyan mashiach over here. The Gemara says, no, lo nitan leishavon means that it's not in the parsha of returning. That's very rational. It's not in the parsha at all of heishavon because of the fact that it was tzari l'Yisrael and not because it was generated through gzela, like a Jew, where it's generated by gzela. This is also speaks before. We said, ben noach is nerag apachot mishav pruta, and ben noach is mitzuveh al gezel vazaretam zumitatan, that you can't give it back. That's dafka Yisrael, the bar mechilahu. That's only a Jew who's a bar mechilah. He doesn't have to give it back because it's less than a shavah pruta. But a obi kachavim is not a bar mechilahu. So that he's not a bar mechilahu, and therefore he would have to give it back in that case. Rashi perish no ten leishavon mishum dekim leiv derabim mine. Rashi says, no, the reason he has to return it is because he's going to be put to death. He put to death, he doesn't have to return it. And Tosa says, lo nira, I don't think that's right. Tekim leiv chayvo lechamim leshalim gezlo b'shum inyan. Goy should never have to pay for Gezel. Goy should never have to pay for Gezel and have to return Gezel. He's always chayav a death penalty. Therefore, it's kimlei derabim in all cases. Tosa says, I don't think that's the right explanation. I think the difference here is that it's a Jew, whether he stole from a Jew or not a Jew. If he steals from a Jew, he doesn't have to return it, because a Jew's mocha and pocha mishav epruta. If it was a non-Jew, he would have to return it. We'll stop over here.